Okay, 12 apostles, who are they? John, James, Matthew. Mark is a companion of Paul. Gotcha. All right, what else? Okay, Judas Iscariot, okay. Andrew, okay, I'm glad you got that, Barbara. Who? Well, Thaddeus, okay. Bartholomew. Simon Peter. I didn't hear it yet, but there he is, okay. Simon, who's called Zelotes, Simon the Canaanite. James, the son of Alphaeus, I don't think anybody said that. And there was one who doubted. His name was Thomas. And somebody already said Thaddeus. And one more, Philip, that's him. All right. So, and you know, the reason that I said that is because there are some, even though Philip, you know, should have been one that we thought of early, he's the last one named. Nathanael, because of his involvement, or we think he's one of them, but he's not named one of the 12. And so when we look at them, there are three core members, the closest apostles to Jesus. We might call them the executives of the church of the day. And who are they? Peter, James, and John, and always in that order, right? And so tonight, we looked the other night at Paul, looked at his life and his conversion and how he went away for a period of time and Barnabas got him reengaged. And so tonight I want to look at Simon Peter. How did Simon Peter come to Jesus? John chapter 1. Yes. Andrew, first findeth his own brother, Simon Peter. Exactly right. It was Andrew. And so it was Andrew's testimony that reached Simon Peter. Now, I'm not to say, look, I understand God had a design. He had a plan. And if Andrew had not gone back and said, Simon, you got to meet this guy. This is incredible, man. I've been sitting with him. We sat with him last night. We stayed over. He just talked. Man, he told us everything from what happened at creation. He talked about Abraham and all the Old Testament prophets. And he told us about God's design, God's plan, and what was going to happen. And you got to come meet this guy. Wow. It just blows our mind what he knows about God. Right? Well, I mean, it's his son, right? And so he goes and Simon Peter finds him. But then Jesus came to Simon Peter and said, follow me. So when we see that Andrew engaged Simon, that may not have been the only opportunity Simon had, but it's the one that he followed. And so when it comes to reaching others, there may be a Simon Peter in our lives. Just like there was a Paul. And what would have happened if Barnabas hadn't gone and said, Paul, it's time to get back in the church. Now, I'm not saying Paul was backslidden. We don't know what happened. We know there was a period of time where there's no remarks. He just wasn't there. But I'm saying that it was Andrew who reached him in John chapter 1. And then we'll kind of follow Peter through. We'll go mainly through the book of John just to... for ease of turning in chapter 6 and verse 67. You know, Jesus has named the 12 apostles and Simon Peter's right there. He's always trying to be closest to Jesus. You know, any of you ever watch football, especially at the high school level? You know, here's this little guy and he keeps running up to the coach saying, Coach, put me in, Coach, put me in. Coach, I'm ready to play. Well, there's this other guy sitting over on the bench. He's got his helmet off. And probably got his shoulder pads unbuckled. Of course, he wouldn't admit that to the coach. But he doesn't have any interest in playing. He just wants to be on the team. And sometimes that's the case. There are people who don't necessarily want to be on the field making things happen. They just want to be included and you know, travel to the other places and eat with them and all that kind of stuff that comes with being a player. And when it comes to church, the same way. You'll have that guy on the bench with his helmet off, half not paying attention to what's going on, and then you got the guy that's standing right next to the coach, and the coach can't move without stepping on him. That was Simon Peter with Jesus. Every time Jesus turned around, there was Simon Peter. He wanted to be engaged. He wanted to participate. He wanted to learn everything he could. He wanted to do everything he could. Jesus asked a question in chapter 6, verse 67. He said, will you also go away? Now, Jesus was talking about the bread of life, and if you don't consume the bread of life, then you have no part. And Peter, a lot of people just walked away. Jesus said, will you also go away? Simon Peter, verse 68, said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I got a question for you. What else is there for us? There is no hope. I love that song Sister Mary Lee sung this morning. Wasn't that great? Beautiful. She always does a wonderful job. But what a message. What a message. Where would I be without Jesus? Where would you be without Jesus? If it hadn't been for the light of God coming into our lives, forgiving our sins, I don't want to tote that with me the rest of my life, the guilt and the shame and the burden of my sin. I want to be cleansed of all unrighteousness, and that's what the Bible says happened if we confess. My sins are washed away. I've got a new life. I'm born again. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I'm a new creature. And I'm so glad that I'm saved. And Peter says, where would we go? There's nowhere to go. Where are we going to find what we have found? Where are we going to get what we have gotten? Who's going to love us like Jesus? No one ever cared for me like Jesus. He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, verse 69, we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Man, I looked at some of the things that Peter said. And I just fell in love with Simon Peter all over again. In Matthew chapter 16, you don't have to turn there because you recognize this. Jesus was talking about going to Jerusalem. He said there the Son of Man will be killed and he'll raise up the third day. And Simon Peter pulled Jesus aside and he said, you stop saying stuff like that. You don't say stuff like that. That's terrible. That's not a good message. Like that message this morning. That's not the kind of Sunday morning preaching they like, is it? Don't preach that on Sunday morning, man. Tell everybody everything's good on Sunday morning. And I appreciate those who came to me. No, I'm not depressed. All is good with me. Just the message God had for the day. And so Simon says to Jesus, stop saying that. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God. Oh, that's not a very good time in Peter's life, is it? But it's not the only time he made a mistake, is it? In John chapter 13, we find Jesus sitting in the upper room. We find him saying that there is one here who has a devil. There's one here who's going to betray me. Chapter 13, verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, where goest thou? Jesus answered, where I go, thou canst not follow me, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Verse 37, Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. We go over to Luke chapter 22, and Peter made another statement. He said this. He said, Lord, though everybody else denies you, not me. And Jesus said in verse 38 here in chapter 13, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? You see, Peter said, I'm willing to go to jail with you. I'm willing to go to the grave with you. I'll die no matter what it takes. God, I'm right there with you. He said, will you? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Oh, Lord, everybody else might fail you, but not me. I'm there with you. In Luke chapter 22, though, this is the part that John didn't record. Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. He said, Simon, you're getting ready to face a battle. You are facing an obstacle and you are the target of the enemy. And he wants to get you and he wants to separate you and he wants to minimize you. But Simon, do me a favor. He said, look, it's going to happen. But after that, get back in. Re-engage. That's how he started in Luke 22. Simon, Simon, I have prayed for thee. Satan has desired to have thee, but I have prayed for thee. So when you fail, get back up. I think of that with Paul. Paul, everybody wants to kill you, and you went back home. Barnabas came along and said, but Paul, you got to come back. You got to get to work. Simon, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be humiliated. How many of you have ever been humiliated? I have. Man, I just want to crawl under a rock. just want to go away and hide and don't talk to anybody anymore. Just go away. But you got to reengage. We got to get back in there. We all make mistakes. And Simon is going to fail three times. In fact, we could look at it. But first, we see Simon Peter standing in the garden with Jesus as they come to arrest him. That's in chapter 18 of John. They come to arrest him. And remember, before they went, he said, do we have any weapons? And they said, well, we have one sword. He said, that's enough. And they get up into the garden and they approach to arrest Jesus. Judas has kissed him on the cheek. And Jesus said, friend, wherefore art thou come? They come to arrest Jesus. In fact, they say, we're come to get Jesus. And Jesus says, I am he. And they fell down. Remember that? That's in the Bible. When he said, I am, they fell to the ground. And he said, well, what do you want to do? He said, well, we got to come get you. He said, oh, well, take me. At that point, Simon Peter draws a sword. Doesn't say whose sword it is, but he grabbed it. And he went to hit somebody, but he missed. Just got their ear. Cut the whole ear off. Jesus took the ear and put it back, said, Simon, put the sword away. This is not the time. That's not the way. Not what we're going to do. So was Simon willing to die? I don't know if he was willing to die, but he was willing to fight. He was in there. He said, I'll go. Wherever you go, I want to go. Jesus said, you can't go with me. He said, well, I want to go. I'll do anything for you. He said, will you really? I will. He draws the sword. He cuts the ear. Jesus puts the ear back. Simon said, I just cut that off. They take Jesus. He goes. Simon Peter follows along. They come to the place where Jesus will be tried. And somebody says to Simon, you're one of his, aren't you? It's in John chapter 18. You go down to verse number 15. Simon Peter followed Jesus. So did another disciple. That disciple was known to the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known to the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel, and you know who that is. Do you understand? When John is writing this, he's speaking of himself. So John went in, he came back out, he got Peter, and then Peter went in. Verse 17, the damsel that kept the door unto Peter saith unto Peter, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And Simon Peter had one of those moments, didn't he? He said, I'm not. No rooster crowed. The servant and the officer stood there who had made a fire of coals. It was cold. They warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. We go down to verse number 25, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it, said, I am not. That's two. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, said, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter probably wanted to go out and hide, didn't he? You know what? He went out and wept bitterly. Oh, he was disappointed in himself. He had let Jesus down. He let himself down. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll go to jail. I'll die. He said, really? And then he was disappointed. He let himself down. This is an apostle. He walked with Jesus. He saw Jesus walk on water. He walked on water with Jesus. Passed out bread from that little boy's lunch. Fed thousands of people. Was in the ship the night that Jesus said, peace be still, and the waves calmed. He was there. And he failed. He sinned. If he'll do it, we'll do it. We'll be disappointed in ourselves. We'll disappoint God. We'll let down our friends and maybe even our church. Maybe there won't be a rooster there to testify against us. But no doubt we've all been disappointed in our own response at some time. But then something happened. Jesus was crucified, and on that Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the ladies came back and they said, "He's gone." Peter and John ran to the tomb. He wasn't there. Later that, remember what he said? He said, "Go tell my disciples and Peter." Simon was so broken over what he had done. Jesus said, "You don't leave him out of this. If he's not with the group, go find him. You make sure you tell Peter, I'm risen. Tell him to meet me. I'm risen." Well, that evening when he came into the room, everybody was there but Thomas. Peter was probably a little shy. Probably wasn't right next to him saying, "Hey, coach, put me in," at that moment. I see Peter sitting off in the distance, staying to himself, kind of not trying to be boisterous and loud anymore. Humbled. Humbled. Life has a way of humbling us. And then Jesus went out of the room. He didn't ascend yet. He just wasn't there with him. And Peter said, "I could go fishing right now. I could go fishing." And they said, "Let's go." And they got in the boat and they went out on the Galilee. They were fishing and they heard a voice from the shore, "Have you any meat?" And John said to Peter, you know who that is, don't you? And that's Jesus. And Peter jumped in the water and swam to shore. And while they were sitting there with the fire and the fish, just the two of them, I believe they settled up what had been missing. Jesus had told him it's going to happen. But after it happens, strengthen the brethren. Don't give up on the church. Don't quit. He had denied him by the fire, and he was restored by the fire. You say, "I don't know. I used to be living for Jesus. I'm not living for him anymore." Well, go back where he was last time you saw him. Last time you talked to him. Go back to him. And Simon Peter was sitting there with Jesus in chapter 21, verse 15. Jesus says, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith to him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said to him, "Feed my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Three times you denied me. Three times I've asked. Three times he's confirmed. And it says in verse 17, Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." In chapter 2 of Acts, Peter stood up and preached on Pentecost, and 3,000 were saved. In chapter 4 and verse 20, Peter was scolded for preaching. He was forbidden to preach. In verse number 20, Peter said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I got to preach. I was there. I saw it happen. I got to preach. Chapter 5, verse 29 in Acts, Peter said to the other apostles, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." And real quickly, we'll go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 2 or chapter 3. As I was studying this, I thought, well, what were some things that we look at Peter when he fell in the water, when he was walking on water and he fell in. We look at Peter when he scolded Jesus, said, "Don't say that." We look, and Jesus called him Satan. And we look at Peter when he denies Jesus three times. But when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. Once you get over it, once you really put it behind you, you need to be a minister to those around you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil, do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. Verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. That's the same guy. That's the same guy. Look at chapter 5, verse 5. It says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another. All of you, be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. This is the same one. This same guy that said, you stop saying that, God. Don't say that you're offensive. What you said was offensive. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. It reminds me of a time where Peter was up with Jesus on a mountain, and he saw the most fantastic sight, which was Moses and Elijah in the transfiguration of Jesus. And he says, hey, let's build three temples here. And God said, Peter, listen to my son. Hear him. This is my beloved son. Hear him. This is not a time for you to speak up. Not a time for you to have an opinion. Hear him. And now Peter's writing to us. He's writing to the saints, and he says, be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, verse 6, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, Simon Peter had a personal experience with that old devil, because Jesus said he desires to have you. 2 Peter chapter 3, last text we'll turn to. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. You know what I like? I like the fact that this guy failed like we do. I like the fact that he really just royally blew it. Man, he messed up big time. He did things that would have made us want to crawl into a corner, close the door, turn out the lights, and don't tell anybody where I am. Hide. And get up and just don't talk to me, don't call on me. I'm done, I quit, I'm a fool, I can't be trusted. I give up. And now here he is writing something that we're reading 2,000 years later and taking it to heart. Why? Because he recovered. Because he was converted. Because he got past his sin. Yes, the Lord forgave his sin, but sometimes even after God forgives us, we don't get over it. We've got to be over it so we can be used of God. Look at verse 8. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? In all holy conversation and with godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. You see, Simon Peter got over it. He got past his sin. Why? Well, he asked forgiveness and God forgave him. I believe when Jesus was there on the north shore of Galilee and Simon Peter got there and they sat by the fire and they cooked fish, I believe it was just the two of them, and Peter said, God, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. And Jesus said, do you love me? He said, of course I do. Well, then get back to work. Oh, by the way, Simon, do you love me? I said, I love you. Then get back to work. Oh, and do you love me? I told you I love you. He said, then get back to work. If we love him, we'll share him. And I say all that to say this. We don't hear much about Andrew, do we? But what if it hadn't been for Andrew? What if Andrew had not been there to listen to John the Baptist preach that day? And what if Andrew had not gone home and first found his own brother, Simon Peter, and said, you got to meet this guy. If you can't be a Simon Peter, be an Andrew. Would you stand? Father, we love you so much. We are thankful for Simon Peter. We're thankful for people like him. We're thankful that you kept the example of his failures so that we could see that we're, no one's perfect, even those who walked the closest with the Savior on earth. Still messed up. God, help us not to allow our failings, our shortfalls, and our shortcomings to preclude us from engaging in ministry, to keep us from sharing the glorious gospel. And Lord, touch us. Give us grace. Give us wisdom. Fill us with your Spirit. Hear our prayers and relieve our burdens. Not because we don't want a part, but because we ask for healing and help and recovery for those we love. Dismiss us with your grace and bring us back again. In Jesus' name, amen.